رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام الحج وعرفة. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: وأتم الحج والعمرة لله. Respected Ulama Ikram, my brothers in Islam, first of all we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Islam. And we praise Allah Jalla Majdahu for making us for the Ummat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shariat is very easy and simple. Shariat is perfect. And Shariat is sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the days of Hajj, and these are the months of Hajj. Hujjaj are going, and Hujjaj are going to go. And generally, everywhere we are talking about Hajj, the rules of Hajj, the laws of Hajj, so that all those who are not going, we also have an urge in our heart that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us for Hajj. And all those who have been for Hajj, when we hear about Hajj, we feel that alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to make Hajj. And you get reminded of those places, the blessed places of Hajj. And then you get reminded of your Hajj. And also you get a yearning in the heart that Allah ta'ala take us back there time and time again. Hajj is very easy. Basically, there are three types of Hajj. One is Ifrad, the other one is Tamattu, and the third type is Qiran. Ifrad Hajj is when you put on the Ihram and you make the Hajj. So, Ihram and Hajj. And Tamattu, generally most of South Africans, we make Tamattu Hajj. So well, because we go to Madinatul Munawwara first. From Madinatul Munawwara we put on our ihram in Bir Ali or Zul Hulaifa, Masjid al-Shajara, and then we proceed to Makkah and we make our Hajj. So we put on the ihram and make the Umrah and take out the ihram. After that, 8th of Zil Hajj, we put the second ihram on. And with that second ihram, you make the Hajj. So basically, Tamattu is two ihrams. One ihram, you make the Umrah. And the next ihram, you make the Hajj. And Qiran is one ihram. With one ihram, you make the Umrah. And when you finish the Umrah, you do not shave off the hair. You stay in ihram. You stay in ihram. And with that same ihram, you go and make the Hajj. So one ihram, you made the Umrah and the Hajj. The person who makes the Ifrad Hajj is called a Mufrid. The person who makes the Tamattu Hajj is called a Mutamatti. The person who makes the Qiran Hajj is called a Qarin. Now, Dam al-Shukr. Dam al-Shukr is mustahab for a mufrid. That means he put up the ihram, he made the Hajj. Dam al-Shukr is mustahab for that person. And Dam al-Shukr is wajib for the person making Tamattu Hajj and Qiran Hajj. Why? Because he is making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the ability and the opportunity of making Hajj, Umrah and Hajj. Because the Mufrid is only making the Hajj. The rest are making the Umrah and the Hajj. Respected elders, basically when we leave the country, you are going to see three places. One is Jeddah, one is Medina, and one is Makkah. Basically, the South African sees those places. And in Medina, you are basically going to see the grave of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the Masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the grave of Hadrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So three graves you will see in the Masjid of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every Haji that goes to Medina, you would see Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then you would see another masjid called Masjid al-Qiblatayn. That is when the Sahaba were making salat there, and they were informed that now the Qibla has changed from Jerusalem facing now to Makkah al-Mukarramah facing. And also you are going to see Masjid al-Quba. Every Haji practically will go to this Masjid al-Quba, where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, if you go there and make 2 rakats of namaz, you'll get the sawab of 1 umrah. And when you go to Madinah to Munawwara, whether it is Hajj time or not Hajj time, you must try to walk there. It is only 3 kilometers away from Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the advantage of going walking to Masjid al-Quba, when you go ziyarat with a bus, the person on the bus, when he's making ziyarat, he'll show you about 21 places. And most of the places he'll be showing you quickly. And if you go walking from Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Quba, then you, if you got a good guide, you'll be able to see 15 places. Just walking on your own pace. So you rather walk on your own pace and see these places slowly, slowly. There is a masjid walking distance from Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Masjid al-Ijaba. Or it is called Masjid al-Banu Umayya. Some people also call it Masjid al-Mawiyah. There was Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made 3 du'as. And 3 du'as out of that 2 were accepted, 1 was not accepted. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made du'a that, Ya Allah, do not let my ummah get destroyed by drought. That was accepted. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made du'a that, Ya Allah, do not let my ummah get destroyed by famine. In one hadith, epidemic, that was accepted. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua that, Ya Allah, let my ummah be united. That was not accepted. So respected elders, it's nice to go to see that masjid. These days that masjid is open also, you can visit it. And alhamdulillah, when you leave Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you will go to perform your umrah. And umrah is so simple. Because remember that deen is easy and deen is designed to be easy. Umrah is 2 farz, 2 wajib, 2 mustahab. 2 farz is you must be in ihram and you make your tawaf. 2 wajib is that you make sa'i, safa, marwa, and you remove the hair. 2 mustahab is that you drink the water of zamzam and you go to multazam. Multazam is that area between the Hajar-e-Aswad and the door of the Kaaba, that 2 meter space there, that is the multazam. You put your chest there and you put your cheek there and you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dua is accepted. Dua is accepted many places when you are in Hajj. And those of you who got relatives who are gone there, you should phone them, and if they contact you, tell them to make dua. Because basic idea is to go there and to get yourself cleaned up and to make dua for the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dua is accepted when you look at the Kaaba first time. Dua is accepted when you're making tawaf. Dua is accepted in the hatim. Dua is accepted under the mizad of rahmat. Dua is accepted at the muzazam. Dua is accepted when you're drinking the water of zamzam. Dua is accepted when you're on Mount Safa. Dua is accepted when you're on Mount Marwa. Dua is accepted when you're running between the 2 green lights. Dua is accepted when you are in Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah. Now when you go for Hajj also, the Hajj itself, basically you are going to pass through 3 places. That is Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifa. Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifa. That's your three major places. Because you are going to be leaving from Makkatul Mukarramah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed that area with three wells. The Haram has got three wells. One is Zamzam. Zamzam now officially is closed, meaning that you could not draw water yourself. 30-40 years ago, the Hajis that went, they were allowed to draw water themselves. Then they reached a stage where they were getting water via the pipes. Now no such thing. You do not. Then there was a stage where you could go underneath and see the mechanism, how the water is being taken out. And it is stated that the water of Zamzam, the water of Zamzam comes from three places. Those who have gone down there, divers, etc., especially when someone had fallen inside, etc., then they had to go and retrieve the bodies. They said they saw water coming from Mount Marwa, Mount Safa, and from Hajar Aswad. These three places, water shooting out from there and coming and producing the Zamzam water. Speaking to the engineers of the Haram, they stated clearly that it is a strange and it's a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that as the Hujjaj, as the quantity of the Hujjaj increased, as the quantity of the Hujjaj increased, the water output of the Zamzam increases. And because of that, they had to create more water pipes so that the existing ones do not burst. And as the Hujjaj quantity decreases, then automatically the water output of the Zamzam decreases. Now alhamdulillah that Zamzam water has been taken throughout the entire world. It is permissible to do so, but it is not permissible per se to sell that water itself. It is permissible obviously to make wuzu with that water. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in Madinatul Munawwara and he should write a letter to Makkatul Mukarramah stating that when you get my letter, then dispatch Zamzam water as soon as you get my letter. So as soon as they should get his letter, they should send Zamzam water for him from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. Now because of that action of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requesting for water, that is why we today are fortunate we can take the water out of that place to any part of the world. Because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he requested for that water to come. And if you look at it, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given three wells I've mentioned. One is the Zamzam and one is the Bir Dawood. The Bir Dawood, the well of Dawood, some attributed to Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam during that time. That well is also giving certain amount of water. And that water generally is utilized in the hotels, etc. So it is in the precepts of the current Haram that. It is in the Misfala area. The Misfala area, to those of you, when you come out of it from gate number one, King Abdul Aziz Gate, and then you look at the Hilton Shopping Center, that is Misfala area. So under that area, in the Haram precepts, is the Bir Dawood. Now, many people don't know this, that as a Haji, you can work in the Haram. You can offer your services in the Haram, and they also know us. Those officials also know South Africans that when you go there to volunteer your services, then they'll put you to work in the air-conditioned service areas. They know South Africans, you put them in any other area, maybe you have to read his janaza salat after that. So they put you nicely, comfortably in air-conditioned areas to work. You can say 1 hour I want to work a day, 2 hours I want to work. Now, that is why that that well is the basement of the basement. The third well is in the Kaaba itself. In the Kaaba itself, there is a well. And this well is sealed off. This well is sealed off. And it was sealed off long ago. Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, when he settled there, then he settled and stayed with his wife in that area which we call Hatim. You know that semicircular area that you see on your diagrams and you see your television and you see everywhere, the semicircular area. That area that you call Hatim. Now the Arab, some of them they know, but they'll ask you if you go there that Aina Hijri Ismail, where's the room of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam? That is the room of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. That semicircular area, that is where he should stay. And that whole area, today we regard it as the Hatim, but technically speaking, that whole area is not the Hatim. Although Hukman, the ulama say, okay, it is part of the Hatim if you read Salat there. But the next time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it possible that you go there, then go in that area and go under the Mizab-e-Rahmat. Mizab-e-Rahmat, the water outlet. And so I'm using the word water outlet. Some places you hear they say drainage pipe. So you don't use the word drainage pipe for the Kaaba. You use water outlet. In respect of the Kaaba, you use a translation that suits the Kaaba. That's ethics of speaking. Now when you go and you under the water outlet, you look down, you'll see two sets of tiles which are yellowish in color. Now those days it was yellow, I do not know now. Yellowish in color, that is the Hatim. That is the original Hatim. And other tiles you'll notice are all white, pure white in color. Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, he should stay there. And he should stay there with his cattle. It was his like barn. It was like his barn. Now it is stated that these animals, they serve as an air conditioner in summer and a heater in winter. And those of you who know about animals, that the breathing ability of the animals in winter, when the animals breathe out, they breathe hot air out. And in summer, when the animals breathe out, they breathe out cold air. So that is why it was for him an air conditioner in summer and a heater in winter. Now that well, in his time, the Jur'um tribe settled there. And from the Jur'um tribe, he married a lady from there. When the Jur'um became rebellious against Allah Ta'ala, and when they became disobedient and transgressing in nature, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala decided that now they must leave from that place. They must be ejected from that place, removed from that place. That is why, up to date, you see that so many people who come to the Haram, they stay there for so many years, but all of a sudden, they are taken out of that area. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. So when the Jur'um left, they took all their jewelry, their pearls, their gems, their gold, their valuables, and they put it in that well in the Kaaba, and they sealed it off. They sealed it off. In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when there was famine and starvation, then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came from Madinatul Munawwara to Mecca. And he laid out his mats, sat down there, and he had instructed everybody, now get ready, we are going to dig up that wealth and utilize that wealth so that we can buy food via that wealth. Everything was set, time was set, everybody was ready. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was present, door of Kaaba was open, everything was now in progress.
Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the last minute he aborted. He said, no, don't do this. Leave it. Then he said, why leave it? He said, and this is the point you should understand, we should all understand, that during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was worse starvation, and there was worse difficulties, and there was financial constraints and restraints far worse than what we are experiencing now. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew that there was wealth there. He did not touch it. He did not utilize it. He could have utilized it. He could have done it. Secondly, he said, that which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do, I am not prepared to do. That which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do, why must we do it? So leave it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. So what we learn from this? Shariat is very easy. Shariat is what Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done. Sahaba ikram have done. That is all. If they have done it, we do it. If they have not done it, leave it. Discard it. Because that will not give us any positive results in spiritual elevation. So alhamdulillah, the small aspects of the Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hajj over 5 days, only 3 farais. Can you imagine that? 3 farais over 5 days. One is to be in Ihram. 8th of Zil Hajj, when the whole of Makkah is going to Ihram, you are there, you go to Ihram. And the second is that you go to Arafat. On the 9th of Zil Hajj, after Zawal, for a moment of a moment, conscious or unconscious, sleeping or awake, passing through consciously or unconsciously, forgetfully or with neglect, but you are there. For a moment of a moment. That's all. And thirdly, come and make tawaf and ziyarah. 3 farz over 5 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it. How easy the deed is. And remember, the deed is easy. Don't make it difficult. To reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very easy. Don't make it difficult. Now, alhamdulillah, many are going for Hajj, and now there are unfortunately a lot of restrictions, so-called accreditation systems, and all these difficulties. And this is like an indirect azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Muslims of South Africa. We have got this accreditation system via SAUK. So we should make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes this accreditation system. Previously 10,000 were going comfortably without accreditation system. And also that in our neighboring countries, and forget our neighboring countries, India, Pakistan, they're utilizing the same hotel that we are using at half the price. And if you look at it, the other thing, that the airfares currently are 11,500 rand starting and going up to 13,000 rand starting, and Hajj season finishes, you get in the same flight at 5,000 rand. How that is happening? So there's some professional corruption that is going on here. And what is the difficulty? The average Muslim is not going to be able to make Hajj. Can you imagine a Muslim who's average and then he saves money, and the coming year the goalpost has moved, he can't make the Hajj. Respected elders, and no one is going to do anything about this. Why? Because the controlling authorities are in power and looks like they have to stay there to make life difficult. And one other point that is very startling. With the accreditation system, look around you. Repeatedly there are those who are going year after year. How are they getting visas and going? Because they say, no, if you are a new time Haji, you can go. But if you are a repeat Haji, you can't go. There are those, if you meet me outside, I'll tell you 10 names offhand that repeatedly they are going. How are they getting accreditation? Then there is another point, a very sore point. And a sore point, you should understand what I'm saying. That there are ulama who are riding on this. Meet me outside, I'll give you the name of 10, 15 ulama who go repeatedly, year after year they're going. How are they getting their visas? And by them going, what they are doing? They're sending a signal to the controlling authorities, nothing is wrong with you, you are right. Nothing is wrong with you. We are behind you. Because they are in the impression, oh, we are accepted by Allah Ta'ala. We are so pious. We are going for Hajj. We are gaining proximity to Allah Ta'ala. Repeatedly, the very same ulama are going repeatedly. But they're sending a complete wrong signal across the floor, across the country, across the place here, that we are very fortunate. We go year after year. And the ruling authorities feel we are Christian body. See, these 10, 12 ulama, 15 ulama across the country, we taking them yearly. And most of these ulama who are guilty of this crime are from KZA. How they get the visas? What is this corruption that is going on? And if you look at the list, and if you know, then you will see on the list repeated hajis. And if you have to query the authorities, they'll tell you, no, we don't know how they pass the system. How they pass the system? Who allowed them to pass the system? When you got a system, it must be applying for me, you, for the Molana and the non-Molana, for the Mufti and the man on the street, it must be equal to everybody, the system. Then the system is valid. Otherwise, the system is corrupt, irrespective of who is running it. Very well, I'm saying all these things, don't worry, perhaps I'm not getting a visa for a few years, and if I say this, maybe I do not get a visa, but the truth has to be stated. The truth has to be stated irrespective of what happens after that. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us ability. Your responsibility is that whenever they come on air, or whenever they come to your areas, then you should phone them and tell them about the corruption that is taking place, and voice it viciously, then something can happen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj of the Hujjaj wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.